priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Melchizedek appears to some people in the book of Hebrews to be a mysterious figure. But let's turn to Genesis 14 and read the account that Hebrews 7:1 refers to. Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. So in Genesis chapter 14, we read of the battle of the kings, and I would spend a lot of time pronouncing all those words, wouldn't I? So let's go down to verse 8. They went, and there went out the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah. And then you can go down to verse 11. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Okay, so Abraham, I suppose, heard that his Lot nephew had been taken captive, and he was going to go and deliver him. So, you don't look at Abraham as a warrior, do you? But he certainly fought a great battle and won a great victory. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Anah, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed, it's his nephew Lot, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318. What an army, 318. They could probably take on Russia and America together. I think they could. You know why? Because God was with them. Praise the Lord. America? Russia? With all of its power, weaponry? Yeah, that's nothing. That's nothing for God. God wouldn't need the 318. He could do it alone. Praise the Lord. So, he had 318 and pursued them unto Dan, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him, and at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Who appointed him priest? Someone asked. Who knows who appointed him priest? The Bible says he was priest of the Most High God. And if it doesn't say who appointed him priest, that's God's business. And I have learned in my study of the scripture not to question, just to believe. Just to believe God. If God says it, that's it. Praise the Lord. You know, the world says, show me and I'll believe. God says, believe and I'll show you. And that's what God has done. We have believed his word, and he has shown us that his word is true. Praise the Lord. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. That's very important, because the writer of Hebrews makes a real issue of this. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. Oh, Abraham wouldn't give the glory to anybody but God. Nobody's going to say they made me rich. Save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Anah, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. What a man, Abraham, what a man. Melchizedek, and that's about all we read about Melchizedek in the history, in Scripture. So who is Melchizedek? Some people have believed, and still do, I suppose, that Melchizedek was a theophany. What is a theophany? We who took the Life of Christ course studied theophanies. A theophany, according to the dictionary, is a visible appearance of God or a God to man. Visible appearance of God or a God to man. Theophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. And you all know that I challenged that in the Trinity textbook that we used on the life of Christ, and I wrote a letter to Springfield, Missouri, the Assembly of God headquarters, and I challenged that statement that Jesus appeared many times in the Old Testament before his incarnation at Bethlehem. And I got a letter back saying, it appears that we are in error. My proof was pretty solid, pretty good. You see, the Bible says he appeared once in the end of the world. He didn't appear before Bethlehem. That's wrong teaching. That's wrong thinking. And I just take the Bible for what it says. That's what it says. It says he appeared once in the end of the world. He was manifest in these last times for you, the Bible says. In these last days, spoken unto us by his Son. The final one, the final message, really. Praise the Lord. So the historical account of Melchizedek is actually found in only in Genesis chapter 14, verses 18, 19, and 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Now, some think that Melchizedek was a mythological figure, an imaginary figure. But I don't think that that's true at all. I don't think Melchizedek was just a mythological figure or an imaginary figure. If he was, wouldn't it be strange that a real Abraham would meet an imaginary man? I would think that a real Abraham met a real Melchizedek. If you're going to have a flesh and blood story from the Old Testament, that's the way it is. When angels come, the Bible says an angel appeared unto him. He called the angel Lord, of course. So, another thing, a theophany would not have an address. A theophany would not have an earthly address. And this man, Melchizedek, had an address on earth. He was king of Salem. I'll have to admit that when I was a new Christian, I read the book of Hebrews through the first time, and I read about this man having in the beginning of days or end of life without father, without mother, but abided the priest continually, that the first thought that rushed into my mind was, this is Jesus, you know, because that's describing someone really great. But as I continued to read the scripture and learn, I discovered that Melchizedek is not Jesus, not at all. And you'll find that out this morning as we continue to read. A theophany would not have an address, of course, and it says in Genesis 14, 18, Melchizedek, king of Salem. You don't read that about anyone from heaven. Amen. Except Jesus for his 33 and a half years on earth, of course. And Hebrews chapter 7, 1 says, This Melchizedek, king of Salem. There it is again, priest of the Most High God. And that's an address, king of Salem. Others believe, I said, that Melchizedek was Jesus, but Hebrews 7 verse 3 certainly, I think, disposes of that notion. Verse 3 says, without father, without mother, having without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now, if Melchizedek was Jesus, then he would have had a mother, because Mary was the mother of Jesus, right? Isn't that right? Who was the mother of Jesus? Mary. Jesus had a mother. Her name was Mary. And here it says Melchizedek didn't have a mother. So these are two different people. Jesus and Melchizedek are definitely two different people. Okay, without father, without mother, without descent. Did Jesus have descent? Did Jesus have descent? I mean, that's the story of the Old Testament, his descent. And we teach the Search for Truth course, and we have the red line showing his descent all the way through the Old Testament. So from Abraham down, Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Did he have descent? I guess he, but Melchizedek had no descent. You read that. That's what it says right there. Without descent. Jesus had descent, proving that Melchizedek is not Jesus. Melchizedek is absolutely not Jesus. Jesus had descent, and his genealogy was minutely protected all the way down. His descent had to be proven. And Melchizedek, no descent. Okay? Praise the Lord. So that settled it for me, of course. And I said it's a fact that Jesus had a mother, an earthly mother, and that Jesus had descent. Melchizedek's genealogy is not recorded. Jesus' genealogy is recorded and protected, very well kept. Praise the Lord. Now, we know that Melchizedek had a mother, and we know that he had a descent, and we know that he had beginning of days, and we know that he had end of life, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. I have here in my notes, Adam and Eve were the only two people that were never born. See, so you can't say that Melchizedek was never born, having neither beginning of days. Adam and Eve were the only two people that were never born. They were created out of the dust of the earth. So they would be the only two human beings without father and without mother. Jesus was born. The Bible says Eve was the mother of all living. Now, if Melchizedek was a flesh and blood human being, and he was, then Eve was his mother in descent from way back, the garden or thereabouts. Melchizedek is mentioned three times in the Bible. Three times. We have him in history, we have him in prophecy, and we have him in doctrine. Now when I say three times, I mean in three areas of Scripture. In the Old Testament, of course, he's only mentioned twice, and that is in history and in prophecy. In history, we have it, Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20. And then in prophecy, Psalm 110:4, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We've got to try to bring all this together and get an understanding of it. And all we have to go on, really, or all the writer of Hebrews had to go on, was the historical report and the prophetical announcement about Melchizedek. That's all the writer of Hebrews had to go on. And I thought he developed a marvelous teaching, a marvelous doctrine from that little bit of information. I don't think anybody in the 20th century could do that. If all they had was the historical report of Melchizedek and the prophetical announcement of Melchizedek, and then come up with a beautiful doctrine like he taught in the book of Hebrews on the priesthood of Jesus. And of course, that's the purpose. That is the message that he got out of, was the eternal priesthood of the Son of God. Okay, so we have in history, Genesis 14, and in prophecy, Psalm 110, verse 4, and the third time Melchizedek is mentioned in Scriptures is in doctrine. And of course, that's in the book of Hebrews. And right now we're talking about Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 and on. The doctrine of Melchizedek is based on the historical account and on the prophecy that was given. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Psalm 110:4, a real key verse for people who love the book of Hebrews and the priesthood of Jesus and love to be saved to the uttermost. The priesthood of Jesus is not a pet idea dreamed up by the author of Hebrews. No, It's a doctrine given him by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Without the historical account and without the prophetical account, the epistle to the Hebrews really could not have been written, because that's all that he bases the whole doctrine on. And without these two accounts, that is the historical account and the prophetical account, no one could prove that Jesus had a priesthood. Where else in the Bible do you read about the priesthood of Jesus? Well, somebody might be thinking in their minds right now, well, what's so important about a priesthood? Man has to be represented before God. Offering has to be made, because we are sinners. If we're without a priesthood, we're lost. We have to have a priesthood. We can't be saved without it. And it's by that priest that we're able to be saved to the uttermost. So if you're thinking, what's so important about a priesthood? Why do we have to know about a priesthood? I think it's very important that we know about a priesthood, because he represents us. Jesus, our high priest, represents us before God. He intercedes for us. That's the ministry, the work of the priest, offering for us and interceding for us. Praise God. Praise God. Another proof that Melchizedek was not a theophany: when you read the Old Testament, or the two Old Testament accounts, the historical and the prophetical account, Genesis 14 and Psalm 110, you do not gather that Melchizedek was a theophany. I mean, you just read it, your common sense tells you that, no, this is not an angel, or this is not some pre-incarnate appearance of the Son of God. You only draw that idea or conclusion when you read Hebrews 7:3, without father, without mother, and so on. So ask yourself this question: what is the author's subject? What is the author's subject? What point is he establishing? Is he discussing theophanies? No, he's not discussing theophanies. He's dealing with Jesus' priesthood. That's the subject here. So I am very, very convinced myself that Melchizedek was not a theophany, and Melchizedek was not Jesus. Melchizedek is the type. In Psalm 110:4, the subject really is not Melchizedek. The subject is Jesus. Thou art a priest. Thou art a priest forever. That's the subject after the order of Melchizedek. So Melchizedek is the type. And here's a good lesson for all of us who love Scripture to learn. And that is, it is not the type that determines the antitype, but the antitype determines the type. What is the antitype? Melchizedek is the type, and the fulfillment of the type is the antitype. That's Jesus. Now, I didn't say antichrist. I said anti-type. A-N-T-I hyphen T-Y-P-E. Anti-type. That's the over against, or the opposite of the type, the fulfillment of the type. Okay? So Melchizedek was the type, and Jesus is the antitype. He's the fulfillment of that type. It was fulfilled in him. You have all kinds of types throughout the Old Testament, and their antitypes are found in the New Testament. So it is not the type that determines the antitype, but it's the antitype that determines the type. We that have had the class before have discussed this before. Okay, a type is a person, thing, or event that represents or symbolizes another, especially another that it is thought will appear later. Symbol, token, sign. Antitype: the person or thing represented or foreshadowed by an earlier type or symbol. Melchizedek was made like unto the Son of God. The Son of God was not made like unto Melchizedek. So Melchizedek's the type. Jesus is the antitype. Melchizedek was not. It doesn't say Melchizedek was made like unto the Son of God. It does say Melchizedek was made like unto the Son of God. It does not say that the Son of God was made like Melchizedek. Praise the Lord. Verse 2, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Wait, before we go into verse 2, maybe I should pull out another sheet that I have back here. And as long as we were on that subject, I just hand scribbled a few things here in a hurry recently. And Psalm 110:4, by the way, which says, "The Lord hath sworn and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek," does not say of the Son of God, "Thou art Melchizedek." Now there's a difference. Thou art a priest like unto or after the order of Melchizedek. He does not say, "Thou art Melchizedek." Now, if Melchizedek was Jesus, then that verse would say, "Thou art Melchizedek." And that would really simplify it. I just have here as a heading reasons why Melchizedek was not Jesus. He was a type of Jesus. Number one, Jesus was not king of Salem. He was king of Israel. See the distinction there? Melchizedek was king of Salem. Jesus wasn't king of Salem. He was king of Israel. And he's the king of kings. Praise the Lord. Number two, Jesus was not priest of the Most High God on earth. We're going to study that too as we go through the book. The Bible says if Jesus were on earth, he should not be a priest. It comes as a surprise to a lot of people that think that Jesus was a priest. Well, and I still read materials that I get in the mail, religious materials that say that Jesus was a priest. He was prophet, priest, and king here on earth. No, he was not a priest here on earth. The Bible says if he were on earth, he should not be a priest. In order to be a priest on earth, you had to be of the tribe of Levi. Jesus was not of the tribe of Levi. He was of the tribe of Judah. He did not qualify as a priest on earth. He didn't. Amen. So he was not king of Salem. He was king of Israel. He was not priest of the Most High God on earth. That's Hebrews 8:4 if anybody wanted to check up on my claims this morning. Hebrews 8:4. "For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law." Jesus never went into the holy place or into the holiest of holies here on earth. He could only go in the temple area where all the other tribes could go. Only the tribe of Levi could go into the holy place and the altars and so on. Jesus couldn't do that. He wasn't qualified to do that. Well, he could too. No, he couldn't. He wasn't qualified. He fulfilled the law. He kept the law. The law kept him out of there. That was Jesus. Now, it says Melchizedek was a priest on earth. Right? That's what it says. Okay. And then, of course, it says without father, and we know Jesus had a father. His father was God. Without mother, we know Jesus had a mother. And her name was Mary. And you know, some people need a lot of convincing, and I don't mind doing. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child," that's Jesus, "with Mary his mother." The Bible says that Mary was the mother of Jesus. Okay. Matthew 2:13, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother." So the angel said that Mary was the mother of Jesus. Right? You're reading it right there in your Bible. Amen. Verse 19, "But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother." There it is again. The angel said that Mary was the mother of Jesus. Verse 21, "And he arose and took the young child and his mother." Okay, now turn to Luke. It's good to get convinced. Luke chapter 1, verse 43. Elizabeth is speaking, "And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" The mother of my Lord should come to me. Mary was the mother of Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 34. "And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother." Mary his mother. Jesus had a mother. Mary was the mother of Jesus. The Bible said so. Heaven said so. Simeon under the unction of the Holy Ghost said so. Praise the Lord. Okay, now, for those who are going to go out and prove this to others, did Jesus have a descent? It says without descent, but Jesus had a descent. Matthew 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Thamar, and Phares begat Ezra, and Ezra begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahas, and Nahas begat Sam, and Sam begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah, and Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa, and Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias, and Ozias begat Joatham, and Joatham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasses, and Manasses begat Ammon, and Ammon begat Josias, and Josias begat Jeconias, and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon, and after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiad, and Abiad begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Zadok, and Zadok begat Achim, and Achab begat Eliad, and Eliad begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Matthan, and Matthan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, from David until the carrying away into Babylon were 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Did Jesus have descent? I guess he did. And then you can read another genealogy in Luke chapter 3. So Melchizedek was not Jesus. If that's all we learned today, that'll be worth it for my effort, that Melchizedek was not Jesus. Amen. Oh, I have some more here. We're on 5. I have 13 reasons here, and I only jotted them down. There are more. It says, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Praise the Lord. So that shows that Jesus had beginning of days. Luke chapter 2, verse 11 is very convincing. The angel said to the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So Jesus had beginning of days, didn't he? He had beginning of days. This day in the city of David, he was born. And then it says here, nor end of life. Now turn to Luke chapter 22, verse 37. Luke 22, 37. For I say unto you, Jesus said, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. Now Jesus is talking, and he said, for the things concerning me have an end. So you find in the Bible that Jesus had both beginning of days and end of life, but not Melchizedek. Okay. In fact, it was his incarnation, his sinless life, his death, burial, and resurrection that constituted the gospel, or that constitutes the gospel. That's what the gospel is, his beginning of days and his end of life, and his sinless life in between. That's what it's all about. Praise the Lord. And that's what qualified him as high priest. We have not a high priest, Hebrews 4 says, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That speaks of his days of the flesh, his 33 and a half years on this earth. Praise the Lord. My eighth reason for not believing that Melchizedek is Jesus is that he was but made like unto the Son of God. He was made like unto the Son of God. He was not made like unto Melchizedek. He was not actually. Melchizedek was made like unto the Son of God. Number 9, Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Number 10, Jesus is a priest after the similitude of Melchizedek. Number 11, Melchizedek was not the name of the Son of God. Again, we have to go to Matthew, and I know this is very basic, but I still love to read it. Melchizedek was not the name of the Son of God. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, It doesn't say Melchizedek. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Praise the Lord. Number 12, Jesus was made priest by an oath. Jesus was made priest by an oath. Psalm 110:4. The Lord hath sworn, that's an oath, and will not change his mind. It's forever. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. After the order of Melchizedek. Praise the Lord. My 13th reason, and there are more. This is just off the top of my head with a fast pencil. Only one incarnation. Jesus was not a theophany.